Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Elder Lloyd.
Good afternoon, my bro. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, man. How are you doing?
I'm so well. Thank you so much for asking.
Lovely, lovely. There's a question that is being asked by the lesson. Does God have a special message for our day? And yesterday, we actually spoke about the fact that there's only one way to get to the Father. Only one way to the salvation. And today we're focusing on the special message that God has for his end time people. Please summarize to us today's lesson, please.
Yes. The long and short of it, Zama, is that indeed God has always had a special message for a special time. You know, looking through the Bible, we can see that at different instances, there was, if I could call it, a present truth that had to be proclaimed just then. Look at Genesis 6, the story about Noah and the flood. That was the message that pertained to his generation. Genesis 18, Genesis 19, Lot being told to get out of Sodom. Talk of Christ's first coming, you know, all these messages were tied to the moments then present. And it cannot be that for such a grand occasion as the final return of Christ, God cannot not have a special message for such a time as that. So as Adventists, and taking it from the Bible, we notice that there is a message which God's people need to preach as time folds, and this is given as a message is given by symbolism of three angels flying in the midst of heaven, which you can find in the book of Revelation chapter 4, verse 6 up until verse 12 thereabout. So indeed, God has always had a special message for a special time.
Lovely. Now, we often hear the Adventist in particular refer to the three angels' messages. What are these?
Right. When we talk of angels in the Greek, it is angelos, which means a messenger. But in the context of the three angels, these are not literal angels that we would see flying in the midst of heaven, you know. Otherwise, people would just flock into the church, having seen these marvelous beings flying in the midst of heaven, whereas we walk by faith and not by sight. So when the Bible talks of these angels, these are movements, like bodies of people proclaiming different messages. So loosely said, these are groups of people giving three particular messages, which the Revelator here gives as three angels, not literal angels, but movements, as it were.
Oh, so these are not literal angels, as you are saying.
No, we are not going to see angels screaming in the midst of Johannesburg, telling people to fear God. It's not going to happen that way.
Ah, okay. That's an interesting one. Now, when are these messages then going to be proclaimed? You're saying that then we're not going to see them in the air, but when is this going to happen?
Right. I think we can pick lessons when we consider the content of their messages. For example, the first angel here, Revelation 14, verse 6, which flies in the midst of heaven, having an everlasting gospel, preaching to all who dwell upon the earth, telling people to get back to worship, right? And also has some message about judgment. It proclaims a message about judgment. So what it teaches us is that there is a movement that at a particular point in time would have a very strong message about God's judgment hour starting. So, and when we look at prophecy, as it were, maybe not the burden of our presentation today, but we learn about Daniel chapter 8, verse 14, whereby we learn about a very important event in the judgment of the world, the cleansing of the sanctuary. which if we would take time to study in the Bible, we would notice that it happened within the year 1844. So the first message that caused people back to worship and having a message of judgment was towards the starting of that judgment in heaven, 1843, thereabouts, whereby the angel here says that the judgment of God is come. So looking forward to the judgment, which we say, according to the Bible, was within the year 1844. So this proclamation was in the year 1842, 1843, thereabouts. Mm-hmm. And within that first angel, we see that there is a reference back to worshiping him who made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountain of waters. This is not coincidence, because that phraseology you can find in the Sabbath commandment. So around that time, we would see that there is I would not want to call it discovery, because this is an eternal gospel that cannot be discovered, because it's eternal. It has been right from the beginning. But there is a calling back of people to observance of the Sabbath around that time. And interestingly, if you notice around the year 1844, as I have alluded to, we do find a lot of contrasting messages going about. We do have the theories from Charles Darwin. We do have Karl Marx and communism. We do have the Fox sisters with spiritualism within that period of time, whereby the burden of the church was to preach about the judgment of God coming and I call back to worship. So the first one, leading just preceding the beginning of the judgment in heaven, 1842, 1843, as I put it. Mm-hmm. Then when that message was preached, when we look even outside of Adventist literature, within the books of history itself, we find a great shaking within Christianity, particularly in Northern America, which was, as it were, where most of this revival was happening. We see a lot of people like being called to come out of being called to take heed of that message that Christ was at the door and the judgment had started. We do have a lot of people rejecting that message, which we can take as the second message there. Was the burden of the believers was to call people out of such bodies of believers which did not stomach to hear that Christ would be returning. It was, you know, this side of life, it can be very strange, but back then you would have Christians who would not have anything of it. They profess to be lovers of Christ, but are not wanting him to come back. So the message just then was for people to come out of such a bodies of believers that would not have Christ whom they loved to coming back again. So I would take that as the second angel, which is in Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. And there is an interesting point there, Zama, if I could just mention
that's fine.
That the call was further on. If you read in Revelation chapter 18, people were being called to come out of Babylon. There is that mention of Babylon in verse 8. Babylon, as we know, coming out of the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. You know, this system of beliefs was so full of confusion. People believing in what they do not believe in. That characterized the bodies of believers there. And by being called out, you know, when you look at the word church itself in English, in Greek it is ecclesia, which is a compound word made out of ekklesia, like to be called out. So this was a calling out of this system of confusion into a church that believed God's truth, as I can call it. Then the third angel there in verse 9, going back, going downwards, which was like a warning. This is the most fearful warning ever given to mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily a threat, but a pure statement of fact, and God in his love giving a warning that he would not have us receiving a mark of allegiance with the devil, what we call the mark of the beast and the mark of his name is, and so on, as we know the prophecy there. So in summary, these are the three angels' message. The first one, calling people back to worship, back to observing God's law, notifying them of the approach of God's judgment. Number two, calling people out of these false systems of worship. You get people coming out of the various churches. I would not care to mention some of these churches that would chuck out believers for believing Christ would come back. But it really happened. Then, thirdly, this fearful warning, as I put it, God calling people to take their stand with the truth.
Hmm. Beautiful one. Now, this message, as we draw to a close, these messages, the three angels' messages, are they meant to be heard by everyone, or they are for a specific group of people?
Right. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says that God would have all men to be saved. You know, so it is not the privilege of a few to hear this message. And just by the wording there that in verse 6, that the message was to be preached to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, it attests to the global nature of its audience.
Do you think that those who are entrusted with this message are sending it far and wide?
I would say yes and no, Zaba.
Normally, when people say yes and no, I know there's a very smart answer coming, but trying to get out of some situation. Let's listen.
Yeah, because I feel that those who do understand this message, AWR themselves, I really feel that they are coming to the table and spreading this message far and wide. But for the generality of believers, I feel that it's like a fairy tale. So I said my answer is yes and no.
Ah, right. I'm going to let you go. But please do, if you don't mind, just restate these three messages just for good measure.
All right. Right. The first message, Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 and 7, calling us back to worship, back to fearing God, and knowing that the hour of his judgment is come. So I indicated that the investigative judgment starting in 1844 was what the Revelator wrote about here. And also the mentioning of worshiping God who had made the heaven, earth, and sea. You know, that phraseology stems from Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. So there is an indication of calling people back to observing the neglected commandment of the Sabbath. Then the next angel in verse 8, calling people, you know, they are honest, and they have always been honest people and earnest ones in some of the churches that do not believe truth. But that message there, it is a message of calling people out of such belief systems. I always love to mention a quotation I read that if a man is honestly mistaken, the moment truth is preached to him, he either ceases to be mistaken or stops being honest. You know, so this is a call for people to come out of systems of confusion. You know, as I indicated, that people believing in what they don't believe in, people need to come out of these systems, Babylonian systems. Then number three, we are going to have an issue of forced worship in the future, whereby we shall have to stand for the truth or against it. And the fearful warning there telling us what would befall us, depending on what stance we would take. Long and short of it, these are the three angels' message. And they will swell as we head towards the end of time. We shall have more and more of reference to this message till Christ comes.
Mm. Beautiful man, my elder, thank you so much for your time and for coming through and talking to us about this very important message from the three angels. Thank you so much.
It is always a privilege and a pleasure, Zama. See you next time.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.